Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, so I think we can just jump right into it. So for whoever has the morning revival material, maybe we can open to week 8. Yep. Amen. So maybe we can start in like a very traditional way. Maybe we can all read the title of the outline together.
Amen.
The vision, experience, and enjoyment of the glorious exit of Christ as the supreme preciousness of God for the genuine church life. Well, saints, before I get into the outline or bring out any of the points, I think I would just like to share, as I was preparing to give this opening, I was sharing with another brother what I had kind of prepared, what I had kind of seen myself, and I kept on saying, we have to see the vision, right? We have to see vision, which is true. But a brother I shared this with expressed, no, actually you have to look deeper. What is it a vision of? And when he shared that with me, and this morning as I was musing, I was just so much more and more impressed. It's a vision of what? If we read that title again, it's a vision of the glorious and excellent Christ as the supreme preciousness of God for the genuine church life.
Amen.
And so, saints, you know, as I was going through the outline, we can see the outline corresponds with these three visions that so many of these precious believers have had. But what do these visions have in common? They are visions of the glorious and excellent Christ.
Amen.
And as I was reading this, you know, I was just more and more struck with the fact that we have to see Christ. Nothing else but Christ.
Amen.
And so if we go into the first day, Roman numeral 1, right? Roman numeral 1 says the vision of Christ in glory was seen by Isaiah in his depression. And so in the first Roman numeral, the first 2 days, we actually see, you know, Isaiah is writing out of a place of miserableness, right? We all know the context of Isaiah. King Uzziah had just died. All of the authority and all of the guidance had just vanished. And now here Isaiah is in possibly the worst state you can imagine. Everything, all God's work, it doesn't look so good. And saints, I don't know if we can testify, maybe not in the church life, but at least for ourselves, we definitely can all relate to times when we've definitely been, you know, in a very low place, right? But what Isaiah writes is that I saw the Lord sitting on a high and lofty throne. In Isaiah 6:1, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a high and lofty throne. And there's so much that you can dig into these verses, and I don't have the time. But then we see that after this, what does Isaiah say in verses 5 to 7? He says, woe is me, for I am finished.
Amen.
So Isaiah sees Christ. He sees this Christ on the throne. His first reaction is, wow, I have seen this glory and now I am finished. But what does this being finished mean? We think, oh, he sees the glory and so now he realizes and sees his flaws and his humanity, his sin nature. And this is true. And actually when I read this, this was the first thing I thought too. When we see a glorious vision of Christ, we immediately need to be humbled, right? But it says later in this portion, but then one of the seraphim flew to me with an ember in his hand, which he had taken from the altar. Saints, when we see Christ, not only are we humbled, not only do we see this God in glory, but we are cleansed and sanctified.
Amen.
All of our flesh is burned away, and we are brought into a position of sanctification.
Amen.
So Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am finished. I am a man of unclean lips.
Amen.
Just as the entire nation of Israel is of unclean lips. But because the seraphim flies to him and cleanses him with this ember, right? This is how Isaiah is able to be sent forth from God. From God to speak to his people, to write this book of Isaiah, which we have so much enjoyment from.
Amen.
We move on to day 3. We see a vision from Daniel, right? And then maybe we can read Daniel 10:5-6 together. I'll give you all a second to get there. Or maybe I can just read it. I lifted up my eyes, and I looked, and there was a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz.
Amen.
His body was also like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and his feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude.
Wow.
Saints, There's so many aspects here of Christ that there are to enjoy, and I wish I could get into all of them. I just can't, because I don't have that much time. But I think what's really impressive, and what there is to take away from here, is that Daniel also sees a vision of who? Of Christ. This is Christ. He sees Christ as if Christ is stepping out of time to be present to Daniel for his encouragement.
Amen.
And we see all these aspects, and maybe the saints can bring them out. But what really struck me about this day, along this central burden, is that Christ in all these aspects made himself present, made himself appear to Daniel, so that what Daniel could be encouraged, so that Daniel could be impressed, so that Daniel could see Christ and carry on.
Amen.
And you know, saints, I think we can bring out more from here. But then on the next day, day four, then we see in Revelation 1, 12 to 13, we see John's vision. This is the third vision. And he says here, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands was one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment reaching to the feet and girded about at the breasts with a golden girdle. And so, we see in John's vision, what do we see? We see so many wonderful things here. First of all, we see the seven golden lampstands. And Christ is walking among them. And if we go further into the week, right, we see actually he trims the wicks, right?
Right.
I used to love having scented candles. Sorry, this is kind of like an anecdote, but I love scented candles, right? But when you have a candle, right, you need to trim the wick or it doesn't burn as brightly, right?
Yeah.
And so what's brought out is that Christ does this for the church. He snuffs out everything that's negative and bad and all these things so that what? The churches can burn brightly. He does this maintenance of the churches so that we can shine forth brighter and brighter.
Amen.
And I think this is an act of shepherding. This is an act of caring for us.
Amen.
And how does he do this? Who does he do this as? He does this as the Son of Man, clothed with a garment reaching to the feet and girded about at the breast of a golden girdle. So on one hand, he has the garment, and the saints can probably bring out, there's so much with to do with the garment this week, but it's a long garment, right? And this is his priestliness, right? This is Christ as a priest, his priestly humanity, right? And then we also see the girdle, the golden girdle, which is the strength. Gold, we know in typology, is the strength of God, right? And girdles are for what? For strengthening you to do the work as a priest, right? And so we see that the golden girdle is God strengthening Christ to have the vigor and the energy to carry out his work in the churches and for his people.
Amen.
I think if we move on to the end of the week, finally, we see, okay, hold on, now I need to pull out the outline I prepared. But, give me 1 second.
Amen.
Amen. In the last day, we covered the last two Roman numerals, 5 and 6, that I see that we need to see the supremely precious Christ and the items organically related to him. And again, I can't really go into every single thing here, but I think what I see in this point, these last two Roman numerals, I'm not going to share very much on them, not because they're not as important, but because I think the saints can bring out the points more, efficiently.
Amen.
But in these last two points, what do we see? I just opened the wrong link. Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry, saints. Okay, I'm sorry, going back. We see the supremely precious Christ. We see these aspects of a supremely precious Christ. And we need to see that we need to redeem the time to enjoy all the preciousness of Christ. So Daniel saw all these precious aspects of Christ. We, the believers, need to see the precious aspects of Christ.
Amen.
We see Christ. So what do? We enjoy Christ. And
Amen.
We enjoy these precious aspects of Christ.
Amen.
And when we do this, we can be constituted with him to be what? We have a precious Christ. So we would be constituted with him to be what? Men of preciousness.
Amen.
Anyways, I think I've spoken quite a bit. But anyways, I just really enjoyed the outline for this week.
Yes.
And there's just so much richness in here.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to hearing all of your sharing.
Amen.
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 So, can I use you brothers, you two brothers, as examples? Sure, stand up. How's your condition this morning?
Oh, Lord. Expose me in front of everybody.
So you two brothers are representing us. Okay? So you're not standing here alone. You're one with us. You're representing all of us. So in your answers, you're speaking for all of us. Okay? All right, Jerry?
Okay.
So, what's your condition this morning? I ask this for a specific purpose, not to expose anyone, because this is how the message begins. Oh, Jesus. Just often, don't think about it. Don't think about it. Are you high? Are you in a wonderful condition? How about during the week?
I was okay during the week.
Okay, so you would say, okay, use the word okay. Okay. David, how about you?
Well, I mean, after eating, I'm satisfied.
Okay. How about during the week? How about during the week?
Well, during the week.
Okay, how about this? During the week, I'll help all of us. During the week, do we bear God's glory? Do we bear God's glory?
Not too much.
All right. Do we have His holiness in our living? Do we have His holiness?
Sometimes.
Shit. All right. So we're starting to. How about morally? Are we upright? Are we righteous? Do we have righteousness? Are we righteous before God and before man? Oh, okay. So this was the same. We're the same as Isaiah. He was looking. He was depressed. So we would say, you know, after the brothers weren't so bold. We are not so bold in ourselves, when we say, okay, well, you know, what's my condition? We just start to go, right? It's not so wonderful. This was exactly how the message began. This is exactly where Isaiah was. He was saying, this is horrible, and the king just died. The king just died. Just like saying, there are no elders in the church. How can things get any worse? Can they get any worse? So, what's ours? Do we have any hope? What is our hope, Jerry?
Christ on the throne.
Yes, amen. Then what happened to Isaiah? So what happens? What needs to happen to us? We need to. What did Isaiah say? I saw the Lord.
Amen.
I saw the Lord.
Amen.
And where was he? On the throne. And he had, and what kind of Christ was he? So we have three visions this morning. What kind of Christ do we see on the throne? A pitiful Christ? No. Is Christ ever pitiful?
No.
So is God pitiful?
No.
David?
No.
Are we pitiful? If you look at us, yes. Yes, we're pitiful. Yes. Is God concerned? No. Why not? Why isn't he concerned? Because he has this glorious Christ. He has He has the glorious Christ. I'm almost done. So, the glorious Christ, so 2 points. The glorious Christ has a robe. This is his human virtues. He's a man. He's not just Jehovah. He's a man. Thank you, brothers. He's a man. And he's the king. So he's the high priest, and he's the king.
Amen.
So he's divine. He has divinity. So he's a God-man. He's on the throne. That means he's gone through incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. Now he's sitting on the throne. So this means that Isaiah said, I saw the Lord.
Amen.
So what's God's solution to our situation? Is he going to give up on us? No. He's going to make us the same as he is.
Amen.
By how? We look at the Lord.
Amen.
We look at the
Amen.
Lord. Then we have, so the other visions this morning in the morning revival have more detail than Isaiah. More detail. So Daniel and John are even more detailed, more wonderful than John, than Isaiah. And then we have the word precious. And this is all, we see the Lord for the genuine church life. So that there can be the preciousness. We can even become the preciousness. And then we become glorious like Christ is. Anyway, so
Amen.
This is for, so we can have the genuine
Amen.
Church life.
Amen. Amen. And this message in day one and day two is talking about holiness and righteousness. And Isaiah was depressed, right, when he saw this, because the people of Israel became wicked. Now, when do we see the Lord? When we are depressed most of the time, when we're sad, we go into tribulation, trials, then we feel sad, we feel depressed, and then we start calling the name of the Lord. Right? Now, in Christianity, all Christians have received the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit. We all have the holiness, which means it's separation. Right? Being separated. But not all Christians have the righteousness. See, God's righteousness is Christ. So, do we have the righteousness? Well, we have the holiness, which is the life and nature. We have his life and nature, but do we have the righteousness? See, a brother says, if we look around, we'll be disappointed. If we look ourselves, we'll be depressed. But if we look above, we'll be blessed. Right?
Amen.
So, we need to see here that we need, what it says here, Paul says in Colossians, to the Colossians says in 2:6, as therefore you have received the Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in him. That's the righteousness. Walking in him is the righteousness of God. See, because we have the life of Christ, so we can walk with this life. But the problem is the world attacks a lot. You know? The world, so much garbage outside. You know, internet, YouTube, and all this stuff. Sometimes I get distracted myself. I decide to read the word, and suddenly I'm watching the news. I'm watching this, and everything is the same. See, right now, what is going on in Israel, in Jerusalem, everything is being fulfilled from the prophecies. Fights, wars, and rumors of wars. Now, everything is started more intensive. It has intensified. So we need to pray so the Lord starts preparing us. Because we're only a small remnant. We're not many. We need to get ready to be the pride. Because the Lord is coming back in your generation. I hope to live long enough to see the Lord. Yeah, that's why I do my exercise too. But yes, it's coming in your and my kids and your generation. We need to be ready. But this is what we need to do. Holiness and righteousness. We're holy because we have the life-giving Spirit. But are we righteous? We need to be righteous. We need to walk in Christ. So this message is very, very deep. And Paul has, where Paul teaches how to experience the Lord. Right? He teaches really how to experience the Lord. And he says here, we need to pay attention to our lips and to our speaking. Now, the first righteousness should be at home. Because we can come and talk a lot of it here. Are we righteous at home with our wife, with our kids, with our children? Are we righteous with our co-workers? Are we righteous at school, in school? Or we look at all this like different. Oh, it's too low. No, he doesn't know anything. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we look at it because we have different ways. You know, I deal with a lot of Hindus and Muslims. And they have a lot of different points of view. They don't have Christ. But I share a little bit. I share what I have. You know, I say what I have. And they can see something. You can share too by believing. By, you know, your believing, your righteousness to them. But we need to work first at home. And then at work and at school. And you see, they will see shining. See, there is a Brother Nee mentioned. Sorry, Brother Nee mentioned this, that a light bulb shines because of electricity, right? It's connected to electricity, right? So for us to shine, we need to be connected to Christ. If we're not connected to Christ, we can't shine. What we shine is ourselves. So we need to be connected to Christ for the light bulb to shine and light up. Amen.
Amen.
It's 3 minutes, right? Okay, I'm going to try. Keep it within 3 minutes. I was recently listening. I've been listening a lot to the life study of Colossians. And Colossians, as some of you may know, is all about seeing the all-inclusiveness of Christ, how all-exclusive and all-encompassing He is.
Amen.
One of the messages was on this matter of the great struggle that Paul is talking about in chapter 2. And this is related to the message. He's trying to help the Colossians to see that Christ is greater than culture, greater than religion, all these different things, that He's all-inclusive. And he says, I admonish every man, teach that, present every man full-grown in Christ. He's struggling, he's laboring really hard. Then chapter 2, it says, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. Then verse 2 says, that their hearts may be comforted, they being knit together in love, and then so that they may see, they may reach the full knowledge of Christ. And anyways, what's really striking is that his great struggle to help the Colossians see Christ is to help comfort the hearts of the Colossians. And so there's a very important principle here. The brothers, they were fellowshipping about this, how in Ephesians, it's about the vision of Christ and the church. And the human spirit is mentioned all over the place. Like, every single chapter is at least one mention of the human spirit. But in Colossians, it only mentions the human spirit like maybe once or twice. But it does mention the heart, the human heart, a lot. Colossians is very much focused on the heart. And so the principle is that, I think it's actually brought out in the message that, obviously, we need to exercise our spirit to contact the Lord. That much, we know that. But many times I realize that it's easy for me to neglect the proper caring for my heart.
Amen.
In order to see the vision of Christ, at least in a fresh way, our heart must be taken care of. And this is actually related to Ephesians 1, 17 through 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him. Then there's a condition. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Because we have the same Christ. We all are regenerated believers. I think as Brother Sergio brought out, we all have the same Christ. And I'm pretty sure at the time of Isaiah, he was not the only person who was depressed in that difficult situation. But why was he able to see the vision of Christ? Because his heart was, I believe that his heart was contrite,
Amen,
humble, lowly, seeking for the Lord. Obviously, he was in a difficult situation, but the Lord saw this man, Isaiah, was qualified to
Amen.
See something of him
Amen.
Because his heart was in the proper condition. So anyways, I think as many of the saints brought out, this means we need to take care of the functions of our heart, especially our conscience, even our mind, emotion, and will. When we take proper care of our heart and we exercise the functions of our spirit, then we are able to see a fresh vision of Christ. So I'm really burdened for this matter that We all want to see a vision of Christ, but we're all wondering, how do I see a vision of Christ?
Amen.
A huge portion of it has to do with our heart, I believe.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Father Jerry, Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, Yeah. We shall see God.
Amen.
I was really touched by the verses on day one that Isaiah said, I saw the Lord.
Amen.
Just that phrase, I saw the Lord.
Amen.
Sitting on a high and lofty throne.
Amen.
And then even John would point this out. He says, these things said Isaiah because he saw his glory.
Amen.
And spoke concerning him. Amen. And I just wanted to share two accounts from the Bible that I felt were related. The account in Exodus 33, when Moses says to Jehovah, he said, please show me your glory.
Amen.
And Jehovah said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of Jehovah before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Amen.
So you know, Moses, it said concerning him that he was a friend to God.
Amen.
He was so intimate with God that it said Jehovah spoke to Moses as a man would speak to his people. And Moses was one who sought the Lord's presence because Jehovah said, my presence will go with you. And Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, then don't lead us from here.
Amen.
And a point in the outline that was really precious was, the Lord's presence provides an atmosphere of tenderness and warmth.
Amen.
To cherish our being, giving us rest, comfort, healing, cleansing, and encouragement.
Amen.
And so I was touched by the account of Moses seeing the Lord's glory. And then the second account was the account of two blind men in Matthew 20.
Yeah.
To see a vision, we have to realize that spiritually, we as fallen sinners are blind.
Amen.
That is our fallen condition.
Amen.
We are blind men in need of the Lord's healing.
Yes.
And so these two blind men, they cry out to the Lord, have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David.
Amen.
Even so that the people would rebuke them because they were being so loud. But they still kept crying out, Lord, have mercy on us.
Amen.
And so the Lord says, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, that our eyes may be opened.
Amen.
And it says the Lord was moved with compassion and touched them and healed their sight.
Amen.
And then they followed him.
Amen.
And so I just want to end with these two prayers we see in the Bible. Moses' prayer, please show me your glory.
Amen.
And the prayer of the two blind men, have mercy on us, Lord, that our eyes may be open.
Amen.
Amen. I'll read Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. In the beginning of your supplication, the command went forth. I have come to tell you, the Lord speaking, for you are precious yourself. You are priceless itself. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Amen. And next one, chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10, verse 11. And he said to me, Daniel, man of the priceless, understand the word that I am able to tell you. Stand in your place, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Amen?
Amen.
When we read Daniel, we think that he has seen all the signs. Jehovah, the glory of God, showed to him, expressed to him, appeared to him. That time, actually, he was a very bad situation. That's the second time he was a captive. From today, it's like the first time he was a slave from the Iraq. The second time, now he went to the Iran. Getting worse. But still, he believed that promise 70 years will go back to Jerusalem. You know, during that time, he was, you know, just like Isaiah. Isaiah, the same. Very depressed. Why depressed? Was was Israel was the hurt. They, you know, they lost their divineness and they lost their faith. During that time, very difficult situation. That's why they depressed. So the first sign during the bad situation, Isaiah was depressed. And Daniel, the outside situation is getting worse. And even the third vision, you see the Apostle John. Well, it was that time. Church was devastation before 20 years ago. And getting worse. You know, the sense getting worse. Then he was kicked out to the island. That time he was alone. All the situation getting worse. But hallelujah! The glorified Christ is blessed to us, appear to us, changing everything.
Amen.
Wow! I'm encouraging him. Only the Peter, you know, the Peter is the two of the apostles, always experience suffering. You know, he always encourages us. You remember Peter, what he said? He, all the God, he gets all kind of glory. When we are, he will call us into the eternal glory. But we are suffer a little while.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
He will strengthen us, and he will grant us, and he will, you know, after a while, we'll get better.
Amen.
All the vision, during that, we are the bad time, tough, all the suffering situation. But God still encouraging us. The glory for God encouraging us. Especially how he encouraged Peter. He said, you are preciousness. You are the precious stone. Don't forget it. You're Peter. I call you. You're the precious. I saw the sister. I was so happy. He come back. It was... you know, he found out about Shenzhen. Right now, it's very difficult. All the half, the house getting worse. But he come back. Hallelujah. We are in the bad situation. But hallelujah. The glorified God continue to appear to you. You are precious.
Amen.
You are the precious. I have the precious promise. He go talk. He already talked seven times. Amen.
Amen.
Precious. Yeah, just want to follow brother sharing. Precious. Really, the common theme in these three visions, right? It really spoke about, you know, what these the preciousness of Christ, right? Among you're right. All these examples, all these, you know, whether it's Isaiah, Daniel, or John, they were all in a bad situation, right? This is a common theme. Actually, this was what, one of the things I was like considering this week. Like, you know, Bible talks about a lot of visions, right? Why are the brothers just picked these three? So, how does that relate to our situation today in our church life, right? And you know, brothers and sisters, right? I mean, especially we have some burden, or we have some service in the church. We know the situation is not always going to be rosy, right? Sometimes we could be actually in a pretty depressed situation, right? You try to preach gospel to a certain friend and he just doesn't listen to you, right? You know, you probably, you know, pray for someone, our family members for years, right? And he's still not saved, right? You know, sometimes we shepherd some saints and just somehow you just don't feel a growth, right? So you could be like in a depressed situation. But what do we do?
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of times we could just be, okay, all right, Lord, you know, I give up, right? You know, I just do whatever I want, right? Just leave me alone. I think that's something like these prophets and, right, some of the, like, you know, like John. Like all, I mean, he was in his 90s, right? He was the youngest among all the disciples. Imagine at that time, he was probably the only disciple that's still left, right? Still living. All the other disciples either left, you know, or being martyred or, you know, whatever happened. And he was also being, right? He was, I don't know what's the right word. He was being exiled, right? Exiled on an island, probably no man, no one he could talk to. But praise the Lord, you know, Christ appeared to them, to him, right? Amen. So this is something that we really need to, we need to encourage each other, especially for the serving ones and we have the heart to serve the Lord. You know, we could be in this kind of distressed situation, but we need to encourage each other. Even our families, right? Our kids, let's say, you know, our relationship with our spouse, right? I mean, all of this kind of relationship is really, we know that this is not isolated, right? This is not just the family life, it's for the family life. It's for the church life, right? You know, if one family is suffering, the whole church suffers, right? Yeah, so I really feel like this word, this week is just so encouraging, right? We can just look to Him, the glorious one, the precious and glorious and excellency, right? Amen. You know, whatever situation we're in, we just need to just turn to Him and remember that He is our life and life supply.
Amen.
And He's our strength. He's our everything. Amen.
There's a portion from the message, and it was a statement from Brother Lee. It said, we need to learn to speak to the Lord genuinely from our heart. We need to tell Him our sorrows, our disappointments, and our depressions. And I just appreciate, you know, what's been brought out is all of these ones who saw this vision, they were in a difficult situation. And Isaiah was in depression, but that was when he saw a vision of Christ in glory. And I've been appreciating learning to talk to the Lord, because sometimes it feels like we can't see the Lord. You're like, I don't know where He is. I know objectively He's in glory, but where is He in my situation? But I appreciate the first thing that we do is we learn to speak to the Lord genuinely from our heart. And there's a sister that I know, and she's going through a very difficult situation. She sent this to me yesterday. She said, no matter what we tell Him, He will listen. He is sympathetic to every one of our problems. He cares for the affairs of us all. In His heart, there seems to be no one else's affairs but ours. He bears all our sorrows. Our Lord is willing to bear all our anxieties and patient to listen to our speaking. And that's from Brother Nee. And so I just appreciate, actually, the first thing we do is we open to the Lord and we just tell Him exactly where we are. And as He listens and bears everything that's on our heart, this gives Him the opening to appear to us as the Christ in glory. And in the message, it was talking about how Paul, you know, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, he says, we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of our affliction which befell us in Asia, that we were excessively burdened beyond our power, so that we despaired even of living. And so this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He was in a situation where he despaired even of living. But then he goes on to say, indeed, we ourselves had the response of death in ourselves, that we should not base our confidence on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Amen. And what the brother brought out there was, like, he could not have experienced the resurrected triune God in this way if he had not entered into that valley. And so he, and then so saying, like, the brother Ed, I think, said that the Christian life, we know that the Christian life and church life are a scenic life in which there are many ups and downs. In all the various situations that we encounter, we need to learn to labor on Christ. And so I just appreciate we're learning, you know, as we go through these situations, to speak to the Lord. As we speak to the Lord, He can appear to us as Christ in glory. And when we see this glory of Christ, then we actually see who we are. And so I appreciate it, you know, after Isaiah saw Christ, he saw himself. Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Right? And then, as we apply, and it, so it just, I just appreciate, actually, after we see who Christ is, and we see who we are, then actually we can become the sendable ones, right? Because we realize that we can't base any confidence on who we are, what we can do. Actually, it's just the Lord in us, through us. And so we're just learning, you know, to see this Christ, the one who's also the high priest girded at the breast, so, and caring for the golden lampstands, trimming the wicks, adding the oil. And so may the Lord just cause us to open to Him, to learn to speak to Him day by day, so we can see who He is and see who we are.
Amen.
Also appreciate, she's still up first.
I
I'll confess, actually, I couldn't read the Morning Revival until probably this morning. But one point I enjoy, I don't think it's clearly mentioned in the outline, but actually in every point of the main Roman numerals, it brings out this matter that the Christ that is seen, he is one who is divine. He's also human.
Yes.
Right, actually in Roman numeral 1, it talks about Isaiah. This Christ is sitting on a lofty throne, but actually there is a long robe that fills the table. Right. And then actually in Roman numeral 2, it point A, it says, Christ appeared as a priest in his humanity, signified by the linen robe to care for his chosen people. Right? And then actually in Roman numeral 3, it talks about this Christ who's ascended is the Son of Man.
Amen.
So anyway, I was just considering, I was reading through the outline, and I found this in the life study of Isaiah, and I was very touched. The human virtues are signified by the long train of his robes. This indicates that the vision here pays more attention to Christ's human virtues. The four Gospels show us Christ as God and as man, but they show us more concerning Christ as a man. In the Gospels, we see more of Christ in his manhood and in his humanity than in his divinity. And then there's a point here, it says, Christ's long robe signifies his splendor in his virtues, expressed mainly and through his humanity. And then there's this phrase that says, right, his human virtues, his glory is expressed through human virtues, right? Like, what does that mean? Actually, when we see this Christ, what we are touched by and what we touch actually is his lowliness, his humility, his love, his patience, his long suffering. Of course, he's holy. Of course, he's sanctified. But we touch such a man, and yet we touch God in this man. Right? But actually, I was just really touched. Actually, for Isaiah to have seen this vision, for who our high priest is, for what we need our high priest to be in the churches today. Actually, what we touch is this lovely God-man who knows how to cherish us and nurture us because of who he is. Actually, I believe that's why Isaiah, when he was encouraged right after he saw this, but also his reaction is, woe is me. And I think that's our reaction too when we're before the Lord. When we touch him, not mainly in his righteousness, because we surely are completely right, but actually when we touch him in his who he is as a man, as a God man, our reaction is, woe is me, I am finished. Amen. And it's in our experience of him in that way, he's able to minister something into our being.
Amen.
So that who we are can match him.
Amen.
And this vision that Isaiah saw, I appreciated that it didn't come in a time of excitement, right? It was in his depression. It was in his depression that Isaiah saw a vision of the Lord. This should show us that, you know, depression is not the end, right? Whenever we see these situations, it could be in the world, right? You know, the darkness. You know, it may weigh on us and cause us to be low, in a low condition. And then even among God's people, because if you read Isaiah 5, this word was spoken to Israel, God's own people, right? And so, you know, there's situations, you know, even within the church that may cause us to become down. But that should not be the end. We should not remain in that situation.
Amen.
I think for, you know, some of the younger ones, sometimes we look at them and we see, you know, their condition, and we're just, you know, we're just, it causes us to be down. And I think even for the younger ones, they may look at the older ones and see, you know, the serving ones, how could they be like this?
Yeah.
And that would cause the younger ones to also be in a depressed situation.
Right.
But I appreciate it. Isaiah saw the Lord. Yeah. He saw the Lord in his depression. The Lord, actually, he wants to for us to be healed, to be able to see him. And the way to see a vision, we're talking about the vision, but how do you see the vision of this glorious Lord?
Amen.
Right? It's by exercising our spirit.
Right.
Right? To pray. Really open ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
That's something that I've been enjoying recently, is just spending time with the Lord.
Amen.
Opening myself to him.
Amen.
Like Esther shared, just sharing whatever the situation is, whatever's on our heart. Even taking long walks. I think for some of us who drive, you can redeem some of that commute time, right? If you're driving to work, just to pray, just to exercise your spirit. Pray, Lord, heal me, heal my sight. Heal my heart. Heal me from this condition.
Amen.
And then it's in that transaction and in that process that the Lord is able, that we're able to see a vision of the Lord.
Amen.
So I just wanted to say, saints, that depression is not the end. The Lord is on the throne.
Amen.
No matter what the situation is.
Amen.
In the world, in the church, the Lord is the same.
Amen.
Right? He is the glorious enthroned Christ.
Amen.
He's on the throne.
Amen.
We shouldn't be affected. We shouldn't be down in the depressed situation. But praise the Lord, we can all see this vision.
Amen.
No matter what the situation
Amen.
Is. We just need to pray. We need to exercise our spirit and open ourselves to the Lord.
Amen. You know, I just want to follow the saint sharing and Brother Aiden and also Brother Jerry sharing. You know, every single of these visions, the saint was in a difficult situation. But, you know, just like Brother, following Brother Vaden, we need to, and Brother Jerry's, and Sister Esther, is a how to get this vision. And we see here in John, I'm so touched with this. It says in Revelation when John saw the Lord, he said, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and endurance on the island called Patmos. So he's exiled in Patmos. He was in a very difficult situation. But what happens in the next verse? I was in spirit.
Amen.
Saints, that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
I was in spirit.
Amen.
We need to come back to our spirit.
Amen.
That's where we touch the Lord and see the Lord.
Yes.
And then, following that, John says in verse 12, and when he was in spirit, he said, and heard behind me, he hears behind him, a loud voice like a trumpet. And then in verse 12, it follows, and I turned.
Amen.
And we turned. And I turned, Sister Esther turned, Brother Vaden turned, Sister Cherise turned, and I turned. And then you see Christ. So saints, just very quickly, I was very touched. I was listening to the messages from past trainings with Brother Lee over the LSM radio. And we were in Book of Samuel, and I was really touched, saints, that Brother Lee shared how, the revelation of the revelation, the New Testament revelation, was given to the Apostle Paul, Apostle John, the apostles' ministry, and everything was lost. And so Brother Lee, so God went all the way to China to find two brothers. And why China? Is because China was not spoiled yet by religious Christianity. So he could find two clean slates and use them to recover the truth. So one of the things that saints we should not belittle in the church life is the training. Don't miss the training, saints. Because you look at Revelation. The Lord Jesus speaks to each church. He says what? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The training time is when the Lord is speaking to the churches.
Amen.
Positionally, you have to be in the meeting. Like John. John was positionally in the right place. He was in spirit and he turned. So if you are not in the training, you cannot hear the Lord speaking. You have missed eternity. So I just tell you, saints, I have been in the Lord's recovery for over a long time, over 30 years. Don't miss the training. You need to put aside time. I speak especially to the working young professionals. I know how much you struggle, but you have to make that time.
Amen.
You have to make it because you have to be in the right position to hear the Lord speaking. If you don't, you miss it.
Amen.
Amen. When I read this message this week, I think at the end of the message, I think Brother Ed said something like, do you also want to see this glory, or do you also want to see this? And I was like, you know, like, there were four people mentioned here, right? Isaiah, Daniel, John, and Peter, two from the Old Testament and two from the New Testament. And I was asking, you know, like, why did not I see this? And it's very interesting. I have not had a chance to share with Kyle this morning yet, because yesterday I went to my garden. And I came back home and I told him that, you know, we had some sweet potato leaves, okay? And I said, it's really, you know, like, those animals, they try to steal the sweet potato leaves. And I saw some like white stuff. I thought they are stone. So I actually threw them away. And this morning I saw a sister. I mentioned to her, and she said that, you know, animals, they usually don't eat leaves. Probably there are sweet potatoes, you know, in the ground. And then I suddenly realized that, you know, in animals' eyes, those sweet potatoes, they are like very precious. But I did not see it, I thought that they are stones, so I threw them all away. but then here is the thing, you know, I think that actually I was reading Daniel yesterday. Daniel chapter 10, when it says that Daniel saw the vision, he actually fasted for 3 weeks. He was very sad because things happened. I really want to read this to you. It says that, and Daniel, I alone, saw the vision. So actually those who were with him, they did not see it. And then verse 8, it says that, thus I was left alone and I saw this great vision. And verse 9, it says that, yet I heard the sound of his words. And 11, and he said to me, Daniel, man of preciousness. And then actually man of preciousness was mentioned not just once, actually more than once. So I really feel that, you know, sometimes we're in the church life, it's so easy for us to see either the negative things or our own glory, but not the Lord's glory. And yesterday when I went home after the young people's meeting, I told Kyle, I actually really enjoyed yesterday's young people's meeting. I think some of us, we were there. Although there were not, you know, many people, but all of us shared something. And I was like, you know, John chapter 3, it was very precious to us. But then if we don't turn to the Lord, we may be disturbed or distracted by our situation.
Right.
So, you know, like now we are in the meetings. I think that, you know, yes, we are all sitting in the meetings, but it's really up to us whether we want to exercise our mingled spirit,
right,
to turn to him, to see something inwardly.
not see the our situation.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, something mentioned about some points already, but I'm still willing to give my portion.
Amen.
The main topic for this week is the vision, experience, and enjoyment of the glorious and excellent Christ as the supreme preciousness of God for the genuine church life. Mm-hmm. Following the previous 7 weeks' burden, we are unveiled and reminded who Christ is, what He is, and where He is. And may we allow this glorious Christ to infuse us with what He is to make us the same as He is. We can see this, the controlling, how can we see this controlling vision? God usually speaks and calls us often at our downtimes, as from the Old Testament to New Testament, even today. There are many testimonies encourage us to enter into this experience. What they saw should become, be my vision today. According to Isaiah 5-6, the vision of Christ in glory was seen by Isaiah in his depression, as the saints mentioned many times. He said, oh, at least 5 times in chapter 5 before he saw the glorious God. For example, 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The situation was very evil among the people of Israel. King Uzziah was one of the good kings, but he just died, and the people left God and went after idols. Isaiah was a prophet of God. He loved God and he loved Israel people, the people of God. But everything and everyone around him was not for God to him. In such an environment, Isaiah was surely depressed. In his depression, the Lord appeared to him.
Amen.
Daniel had been mourning for 3 full weeks, like Brother Sister Ping mentioned, to set his heart, understand the future, the destiny of Israel, before he saw the vision. The Apostle John in the New Testament was revealed, and while he was in exile on the island of Patmos, Revelation 1:10 says, I was in spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. There, I remember there's a brother on the day of 9/11. Mm-hmm. That morning he had a talk with Brother John, Alex John. He said, oh, it's like he's experiencing a bottleneck of his church life. Nothing encouraging around him. But I think after that, he saw some vision, so he's still strongly in the church life and serve and pursuing him together with the saints.
Amen.
Amen. We have a book for the children called Upside Down. If you're interested, you can look at it. This book will show us, you know, like what we'll see today when we talk about the children and the school system. This age, isn't that true? Upside down. Mm-hmm. Israel's today still experiencing attacks right now. Right now. It seems God's people are always under hard times. In the Old Testament, the high priest bear the names of the sons of Israel in the breastplate of judgment. In the breastplate, there are 2 important and special things, stones, the Urim and the Thummim. God speaks through this when it gets dark. It's not when they write so much. We may go through thousands of things, situations that we are depressed, but we may feel nothing or when around us is for the Lord and His glory is not expressed or manifested. But this is the opportunity we can be fully open and tell the Lord all our sorrows, disappointments, and depressions. When we experience depression, we can seek the Lord desperately.
Right.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we can turn whatever we look today. We see the only, there's only evil, but we look away to unto the Lord. We can have the Lord appearing. We can see Christ on the throne. And everything is under His rule.
Yes.
Let's learn from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. He said he's despaired even of living. lost all his hopes. But, oh Lord, in such a despair, Paul was being trained by the Lord to have no confidence in himself, but trust the Lord who raised from death.
Amen.
Let's see him and trust him.
Amen.
Amen. He's our prize today is the Lord. He's on the throne with the glory.
Yes.
And he's the one who is God man with the divine glory and human virtues.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, grant us to see a vision of Christ.
Amen.
Who is in glory on the throne.
Amen.
We can turn our eyes upon you.
Amen.
Amen. I really enjoyed day 6 this week. I enjoyed like a few points and verses and footnotes that like relate to the matter of you know, looking up to Christ who's on the throne, but not down on our situations.
Right.
I guess I won't like share anything about like my subjective experience, but there are just some things I want to read out. For example, in point A, it says we need to ask the Lord to grant us the light to have a thorough change in our concept of value, so that we will continually choose Christ and all that He is as our super excelling portion.
Amen.
In C, it says we must treasure the Lord's word more than all earthly riches,
right,
so that we can speak oracles of God to dispense the unsearchable riches of Christ as the very grace of God into His people.
Amen.
And then a verse I enjoyed in relation to that is 2 Corinthians 6:10. It says, as made sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet enriching many,
Amen,
as having nothing and yet possessing all things.
Mm.
In the first footnote of that verse, it says, as made sorrowful by the negative conditions of the churches, yet always rejoicing in the sufficient grace and resurrection life of Christ.
Amen.
Second footnote says, as poor in material things, yet enriching many in spiritual riches.
Amen.
Third footnote says, as having nothing in a human way, but possessing all things in the divine economy. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, make us rejoice in your sufficient grace and resurrection life.
Amen.
Lord, make us rich in spiritual riches. Oh, Lord, make us ones who possess all things in the divine economy.
Amen.
I'll try to be short because we still have Brother John will give us a conclusion. So there's a very important burden this week that is, you know, we all need to become precious. Verses, do you want to become precious? How do we become precious? We need to see, right? And we need to experience, and we need to enjoy this glorious and excellent Christ.
Amen.
As the preciousness, the supreme preciousness of God.
Amen.
But how we can? How can we enjoy or see this vision or experience and enjoy this one? What is the requirement? I hope we don't answer, we need to be in depression condition.
Right.
Although, yeah, you know, this morning I feel, you know, our dear brother Peter, when he's sharing, I see something precious, right? And I believe, I don't know whether he had any depressive situation this week, but I think that's not the key. The key is this week he enjoyed this precious one.
Amen.
How he enjoyed this precious one? Because he come to the Word, the Bible, these verses, and he come to this ministry portion.
Amen.
So when he read and turn his heart and in the Spirit to enjoy the precious one in the Word, in the ministry, he was imbued something.
Amen.
So he became more precious.
Amen.
So not only this Peter, right? You know, Apostle Peter, we need all come to the living stone. So we can become the living stones to build up the body of Christ. So that's the burden for the whole series. Everything is for the genuine church life.
Amen.
We all need to spend time,
amen,
to enjoy this one.
Amen.
It's true, our age is the age of depression.
Amen.
Our personal situation can be up and down.
Right.
But no matter we are up and down or we are okay,
right,
we need to spend time, redeem the time to see, to to experience and enjoy this precious
life. Amen.
Yeah. I'll just try to keep this short. I know everybody shared 3 minutes, but what a vision for Isaiah. I used to come here a lot, and I see some faces here. It's great. But for the past 3 years, I've been walking alone. And I haven't been present. And I was wondering where that presence might be, and I was like, you know, maybe you're just depressed. Go to a doctor. Find out what's wrong with you, right? but the Lord works in ways, and He works through people. You know, brother was he doesn't want to do the subjective material, but I'll do that because I know I need to be humbled in some ways. Because that's myself. I'm a proud person. I'm powered by my ego in a lot of ways. And I have defense mechanisms for it. But recently, you know, this past month, I lost my grandmother. And I thought I could get by, you know, like just do it yourself. Went back to work, you know, nothing really happened. And I was talking to a coworker, and she's telling me about her situation, and I just start crying. I was like, I don't know where this is coming from. I thought I was good, you know, it's been 3 weeks. And then, you know, for the past 3 years, I've been in a relationship with a woman that honored me, and it wasn't honorable to God. And that ended. And I said, okay, that depression, that's because you're losing someone, right? Very normal human reaction. And in the past week, I realized my father had to go in for a surgery that might be very, very, you know, might have long-lasting consequences. And now, you know, those two things happened, and I was like, you can handle this, right? You got this. Your ego can power you through this again. When I talked to him, a wave washed over me. And I started calling on the Lord's name because I haven't done that in a while.
Amen.
Amen. I may have done it right through the years a bit because I was afraid. And when these things happen, when you're afraid, yeah, you go back to the Lord. But that's not a daily communion. That's not a daily walk. That doesn't keep that connection alive. And I've been so far. You know, I was wondering where that presence went, but I know it's because I was by myself. I wanted to be by myself. I wanted to prove to myself I could be by myself. And when I realized what was my father's situation, I turned, I think. I hope I did, because now I'm here. I haven't been here in a long time. And I feel present. I feel some presence again.
Amen.
I feel water, you know. And that presence comes with consistency in the church life.
Amen.
It doesn't go, you turn when you're afraid. So I'm a man powered by fear. I'm a man with unclean lips, unclean motivations. And the depression valley, you're not supposed to dwell in it. It's not supposed to be, it's a transitory state, but it points you back. And the situation I'm in right now, I'm blessed for the judgment. I'm blessed for the things I've done because now I can turn back.
Amen.
I was worried up until this point when I came here. I was driving, and I tried to turn, but I've realized, you know, even by the self, sometimes that's just not enough. And that's when the watering comes into place. So thankful for you saints. I came here, Esther didn't even ask me where you've been for 3 years. Just gave me a book. I didn't get questions from anybody. And when I reached out to people in the saints, they didn't ask, you know, where have you been? I'm so glad you're back, brother.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for the water.
Yeah.
Amen.
Welcome back.
Amen. I'm really, really moved by brother's sharing. Actually, I'm so happy to see you here. Actually, this week I joined the White Living and really touched by two words: remain and return.
Amen.
Yeah. We all experience up and downs in our church life, personal life.
Yes.
And the most important thing is, no matter what stage you are in, even you are in the lowest stage of your life, in the valley of your life, just don't leave the church life. Don't leave the saints.
Right.
Very important. Yeah, I also experienced several times I'm really, you know, in a depression. I want to leave the saints. I want to leave the church life. I want to go to a faraway place and nobody know me and start again. But for some reason, the Lord won't let me go. And always bear something, so, brother, sister, you know, maybe fellowship something at the team here. I really, really appreciate all these years I was here. No matter what stage I was in, I'm not alone. Yeah, always, you know, brother, sister around, and the Lord is here. And another word is return. Even you leave the church life for a while, but never give up. Return.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Just return. Yeah, when you return, you will come back to the home. And the saints don't make a fuss when they say the saints come back. Don't say, oh, you are here. Don't say that. Just like you never leave.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I will be very brief. We are a little over time, but I just appreciated that, saints, this whole series is about the knowing, experiencing, and living the all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
For the genuine church life. We have a very particular, portion of this all-inclusive Christ that we can, each one of us can enjoy and experience. And what is that for? That is for the genuine church life.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter what conditions that we are going through, even though, you know, our heart goes out for each one of us here. Saints, you should be encouraged, because your experience of the Lord and your experience of Christ, of a portion of this all-inclusive Christ, is for the genuine church life.
Amen.
What you have to go through, what I have to go through, you know, maybe what our family have to go through, our children, our parents, whatever we have to go through, of in our experiences of this all-inclusive Christ, saints, if we're open to the Lord, they will be for the genuine church life.
Amen.
And that is so precious in the Lord's eyes. Because in this process, He is making Himself more at home in your hearts.
Amen.
He's making you preciousness.
Amen.
Not because that you will get out of a situation, you know, not that to make you, you know, hey, I'm overcame, right? It's good. Maybe you overcome, yeah. But really, as we see in this week, right, saints, oh Lord, He wants to reveal Himself to us.
Amen.
Not to reveal an answer, not to give us a solution. His solution. Look at me.
Amen.
Come back to me.
Amen.
Open your eyes and see me as the one on the throne.
Right.
He is sovereign, right? We all know He's sovereign. But we need to see it. And sometimes it requires some kind of experiences for us to really see it.
Yes.
We can declare God is sovereign, right? God is, you know, but when a situation comes, right, we are tested. But we can always turn.
Amen.
Sister Irene helped us to see. You know, in John's condition, he is not in a good condition. Not because my name is also John, but I sympathize with him a lot. Exile? Patmos? Wow. Maybe in prison? So he's got the worst of all. Pope maybe was in prison, right? But John was in exile. And in prison, and he lost all his companions. I think Brother Ron used to say this, John really knows what loneliness means.
Right.
Imagine, he really knows what loneliness is. But he can turn. It doesn't matter what kind of situation, saints. My prayer, I think the saints already shared so much. I think, to close, my prayer is just that, Lord, cause us to turn to You.
Amen.
We will not be stubborn. We will not have the heart of disbelief, right? Sometimes we belittle, you know, our spirit. We heard that all the time, especially some of us. Yeah. We belittle it. But brothers and sisters, may the Lord have mercy so that we can turn. Turn to our spirit and to see that our God's heart is for us.
Amen.
In Galatians, I think in room number one, one of the sub-points, in Galatians it was brought out. The reason Daniel alone saw the vision was because he was brought out of the physical realm. Christ, in his glorious status as the one on the throne, can only be seen by people who are in the spiritual realm.
Amen.
Whose view are not earthly. But on the other hand, we need to turn to our spirit, but we need to know that God's heart in Galatians is that God, it pleases God
right.
to reveal His Son to us.
Amen.
But because we are stubborn, right? We think God hates us. Why would God arrange a situation for us? And that's why we need to come to the Word. When we have the Word, we can know this is God's heart. Whatever environment that we're going through, God's heart is that He will reveal His Son in you.
Amen.
In you.
Amen.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We have a glorious hope.
Amen.
Not because we will live happily every single day and be, in the third heaven every single day. But saints, because God is on the throne.
Amen.
We can see this one who's on the throne, who's sovereign. Anyway, there's so many aspects, and we can live and touch Him for the genuine church life.
Amen.
In fact, our seeing of the Lord, our experiences of the Lord, is what produces the genuine church life.
Amen.
That is the genuine church life.
Amen.
The church life is not just we're here, every Lord's Day, every Tuesday, every church meeting, even home meeting, but Lord, it's that we will see Him, experience Him, know Him and live the all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
For the genuine church life.
Amen.
Praise the all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
He can be experienced by us in any kind of situation.
Amen.
Because He is all-inclusive.
Right.
He is on the throne and each one of us, we have a portion of this Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for speaking.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, we're not alone.
Amen.
Thank you for giving us your Son as our holiness and righteousness.
Amen.
Oh, thank you for everything you accomplished.
Amen.
No matter what we're going through, you are with us.
Amen.
You are our real Emmanuel.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
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 Yes. Thank you for your speaking.
Amen.
Now I praise you. You're the one on the throne.
Amen.
The most precious one, excellent one.
Amen.
Lord, regardless of our situation, we can turn to you.
Amen.
Oh, we experience you deeper, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, look to you, Lord. Oh, as everything, Lord.
Amen.
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 Yes, Lord, thank you for today's portion.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, thank you that we don't need to look down on our situation.
That's right.
Lord, that we can just look up to you.
Amen.
And make us ones who would turn.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, you are our source of life.
Amen.
You are our eternal hope.
Amen.
You are the meaning of life. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Thank you, Lord, that you're the source of life.
Amen.
Lord, follow. Cause us to go on.
Amen.
Oh, to live a genuine church life.
Amen.
Lord, just cause us to see.
Amen.
Help us to gain, such a vision.
Amen.
Lord, even to be governed by this vision.
Amen.
Lord, give this coming week to you.
Amen.
Gain us more.
Amen.
In our spirit.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Just a reminder for the children's meeting serving ones.